The Lord is good, is he not? He's good all the time. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith gives substance to invisible things. Faith is it gives evidence to invisible things. Faith is like the eyes that see into the eternal. We're going to talk about faith today, because the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So faith is very important. And we're going to talk about faith. We're going to talk about looking upon Jesus. We're going to talk about looking in the invisible world. Is there another realm that we can't see? I mean, there's angels, there's demons, there's things going on, almost like another dimension that we can't see, but by faith we can see it. We can almost touch it. We can, by faith, see the invisible. So we're going to talk about that today, and I hope it's a blessing to you. So, have you seen Jesus today?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I hope so. And I hope that when we worship, you see him with your mind's eye. This is not visualizing. This is just faith that sees what the physical eyes cannot see. So, we're going to talk about that today. You know, when I came to the Lord back in 1972... I was so excited about Jesus as a almost 20-year-old college kid. I was so excited about Christ that I wanted to tell all my classmates about Jesus. Funny thing about that. I really, really wanted to tell them about Jesus. But I quickly discovered that my classmates were not interested in hearing about Jesus and my newfound faith. I mean, I was kind of surprised. I was kind of naive, but because as college kids back then in the 70s, we were seekers. We were seekers of truth. We wanted to know what life was all about. You know, we thought we were seekers. Really, we were just partiers back in those days, but we were seeking the truth. So when I found the truth in Jesus Christ, I thought all my friends, my college buddies would say, yeah, all right, you found the truth, yeah, tell me more. Well, it didn't happen. Not very much. There were a few. But there's reasons why my classmates didn't want to listen. One of them is because obviously Jesus says that, you know, there's a broad road that leads to destruction and there's a narrow road that leads to everlasting life. So that means it sounds like a lot more people are going to be going into eternal destruction than are going to be going into everlasting life. So that means that when you talk to people, likely more people are not going to want to listen than are going to want to listen. That's one reason. The other reason is because of the messenger, me. I'm sure I, as a young, excited Christian, I probably came off as self-righteous and sanctimonious, and I probably turned a lot of people off. But there's another reason, and that is my college buddies knew me. They knew me before Christ. They knew all the dumb things I'd done, the stupid things I'd said, the bad things I'd done, and they knew me. You know, I was just green slate. Who was I to tell them about eternal truths or tell them about Jesus? They didn't think I was a very worthy messenger. And I found the same to be true by and large with my family. My family knew me since when I was a kid, right? They knew everything about me. They knew, this was just Robbie. I was called Robbie as a kid. This is Robbie. How can Robbie all of a sudden become this spiritual guru who knows something? So again, I found I didn't have a very interested audience in either my friends or my family. I'm not saying that no one listened, but by and large, there was this kind of wall. Has anyone else experienced that with friends or with family? It seems like your family are the hardest ones to reach because, well, they know you. And maybe you've done some things that kind of turn them off to Christianity, right? Well, those of you who have tried and failed to effectively witness to your friends and family, you're in good company. Jesus had the same problem. And we're going to see that today in our scripture. We're going to follow Jesus to his hometown of Nazareth, where he was raised, where people knew him as a kid and saw him raised up. We're going to see him in the city of Nazareth, and we'll see the kind of reception he had. So let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on his word. Lord, we thank you for your great love. When we look at the cross, we see grace. We are so blessed to know that you, in your gracious love and care for us, went to that cross and shed your blood for us. Thank you, Lord, for your grace that has awakened faith in us, and we now have eternal life because of our faith in you. Thank you, Lord, that you want to use us to reach people, but we know that there are many barriers, but that's not going to stop us. We will continue to be a witness of your love and your grace. And we know there are some who will listen, some who will embrace you and will be saved from their sins and given everlasting life. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So in Mark 6, verses 1 through 3, it says, then he went out from there. He went out from, it was Capernaum, and he came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James, Joses, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. You know, the Lord Jesus, he was followed by multitudes. He had healed people. Remember last week we saw him healing the woman with the issue of blood. He raised a little girl from the dead. And the word was out that this Jesus was something special. He arrives at Nazareth, his hometown, and the townspeople at first are amazed at his teaching, and they talk about his mighty works, but then they seem to be, it seems that their amazement turns into skepticism. They say, hey, is not this the carpenter? We saw him when he was a kid. He was raised by Joseph and Mary. Joseph was a carpenter. He's a carpenter. He's that kid who was raised We know, sure, he was a good kid, but I mean, Messiah, prophet, why, they were offended at him because they knew him so well. All they saw was the man Jesus that they'd always known, the one who grew up along, he grew up alongside of our kids. How can he claim to be something so special? And you know, they also knew his family. They knew that he had four brothers and at least a couple of sisters. And by the way, as a little aside, the Catholic Church teaches that Mary remained a virgin all of her life. But that's not true according to Scripture. Jesus, well, Mary and Joseph had at least six other kids after Jesus was born. And the people of Nazareth knew the family. And though it doesn't say in our Scripture today, in another place, it seems that the people were well aware of Jesus' suspicious conception. Mary was pregnant out of wedlock. Remember that? She was, the life of Christ was planted in her by the Holy Spirit. But what did the people see? They saw this young woman who was pregnant out of wedlock. And so there's probably another reason why they didn't regard Jesus as a holy man. I mean, the Messiah would never have been born that way, would he? Well, surely the Messiah must have had a more holy beginning. Well, the bottom line is the people in his hometown did not believe in Jesus as Messiah. They didn't believe he had power over disease and the devil, and they certainly didn't believe in the deity of Christ. They were offended by him. He was a stumbling block to them. And because of their lack of faith in him, Jesus was not able to do many miracles in Nazareth. Let's look at verse 4 through 6. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor or respect except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching." So we see that when we have trouble witnessing to the people who know us, Jesus had the same problem. A prophet is not without honor except in his own home country, in his own family. So if your relatives are skeptical of your faith, you're not alone. Jesus had the same problem. So what is the underlying problem? Lack of faith. And what is faith? I talked about it a minute ago. Faith is that which makes the invisible and the eternal real. Faith is like spiritual eyesight. Unbelief is spiritual blindness. The people of Nazareth were blind to the spiritual, holy side of Christ. They only saw the physical. Does anyone in America have that problem? Living totally for the physical, totally for that which they can see, and having no regard, no faith to behold the eternal. That's a big problem, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen? So the people of Nazareth were blind to the spiritual nature of Christ. They only saw the physical. And we're going to return to that concept of spiritual sight and spiritual blindness in a few minutes. But first, let's witness the wisdom of Christ as he multiplies his ministry through his disciples. We're going to go from verse 7 to 9. And he called the 12 to himself, that's the 12 disciples, and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and to put on, and not put on two tunics. So he's sending out his disciples without a credit card. They do not have any visible means of support. Why would he do that? Well, he wants to teach them another aspect of faith, which is dependence on the living God, on the invisible God. It's depending on the invisible God to take care of your needs, right? Jesus was teaching them total dependence for all of their needs on their Father. Don't you love the love and care of our Heavenly Father, who is unseen but who takes care of all of our needs? That's what he was teaching them. God is unseen by physical eyes but is seen by faith. So Jesus grants them the authority over disease that he has and over demons. And that same power and authority that he's already demonstrated throughout the regions of Galilee. This must have been an incredible time for the disciples, a building of their faith. So Christ sends them out with these instructions, verse 10 and 11. He also said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there until you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Whoa, powerful words. We aren't told here what the message was that Christ entrusted to his disciples, but in other places we're told that they went out with the message of the kingdom of God. And clearly that message would be that the kingdom of God is at hand because the King, Jesus Christ, is here. The King has arrived. Therefore, the kingdom is at hand. So they went out to invite people into the kingdom that is above all other kingdoms, Christ's kingdom, right? The kingdom that is not of this world, the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus tells his disciples to stay with whoever will receive them. But if they are not received in a town, Jesus said to kick off the dust off their sandals. What does that mean? It's basically saying that city is going to be under great judgment when I come to judge. You don't want any part of that city sticking to you. So get rid of even the dust. Leave it all there because it's destined for judgment. And it's a sign that they've washed their hands and they're not responsible anymore for that town because they tried to witness to it, but they wouldn't listen. So Jesus is instructing his disciples and sending them out. And then it says in verse 12, so they went out and preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Oh, wow, what a glorious time for the disciples. What an expansion of Christ's ministry. He wasn't doing all the teaching and preaching. His disciples were doing it as well. Does Jesus do that today? Does he send out his people? Yeah. When he departed from the earth, when he ascended into heaven, he left 12 disciples and a handful of believers, and he said, it's up to you now. And by the grace of God, that ministry has expanded and expanded and exploded into all the earth. Amen? It even made it to Newport, Washington. Wow. The boondocks. No, our house is in the boondocks. Newport's not in the boondocks. Our house is in the boondocks. Yeah. But God has sent out his people, and they are even today touching people for Christ. And the kingdom of God is expanding and growing because Jesus said, I will build my church. Amen? Amen. Now, as we think about faith, I want to go back to Nazareth with Jesus preaching there in the synagogue. The citizens of Nazareth did not believe in Jesus, even though they were amazed at his teaching, even though they had heard about all his wonderful miracles. Their problem, again, was that they only perceived Jesus with their physical senses. They knew him only as the guy who grew up in Nazareth, the carpenter who had a bunch of siblings, but that's all they saw. They had fine vision with their physical eyes, but they were spiritually blind. They did not see Jesus as the glorious Messiah, and they did not see Jesus as the Son of God. So how's your spiritual eyesight today? Do you see Jesus as you walk through life? Are you perceiving his hand? You know, most of us, even believers, walk through life oblivious to what God is doing because we are not walking in faith. Let me just read a passage that describes faith in action. It's found in, if I can, with my shaky hand, get there. It's in 2 Corinthians 4. Oh, I should have marked these beforehand. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Paul says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. Eternal. Let me give you an example of seeing the unseen. In the book of Ephesians, Paul talks about spiritual warfare. What's spiritual warfare? It's the fact that there are enemies of the church called demons. And their captain is named Satan, and he is in the business of discouraging and tempting and stealing from God's people. Can you see him with your physical eyes? No. He's in that other realm. Let me just read a portion of in Ephesians 6 and verse 12. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." So Paul says, we're not wrestling. Our problem is not flesh and blood, not people. Our problem and our wrestling is spiritual. It's with the hosts of Satan, the principalities, the demons. Flesh and blood means people. You know, we think people are our problem. There's one person who's your problem. That's you. The biggest problem, I've seen the enemy, and he is me. Ah! We think people are our problem. But what's behind people and what's causing us to lose our patience or get angry or whatever is there's an enemy named Satan who is trying to keep our eyes on people instead of on him. He is the problem. We tend to think our problem is people, but Paul says that there is more going on than meets the eye. There's an invisible realm where angels and demons do battle and where Satan is trying to get us to view people as the enemy. But the real enemy is in that invisible realm, the realm of the spirit, that can only be seen by faith, the eyes, spiritual eyes. You know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. And in that scripture that I just read, he says, we're not looking at the visible realm. We're not looking at the physical, because that's the temporary stuff. We're looking to the eternal. When you look at a person, what do you see? You see, obviously, a physical being, but do you have the faith and discernment to see past the physical and try to look for the spiritual needs in that person? I have a friend who years ago used to say, whenever I'm talking to someone who's a believer, I always try to look for Jesus in them. Because Christ dwells in each and every believer, right? He indwells every believer and he wants to make his love and his gifts known through that person. So each and every person sitting here has a physical side that I'm looking at right now, but you also have a spiritual side where Jesus dwells in you and wants to live his life through you. Amen? This message is called Believing is Seeing. You've heard the expression, well, seeing is believing. In the spiritual realm, believing is seeing. Faith is the spiritual eyes with which we see the eternal. God is ever working on us to increase our faith, to open our spiritual eyes. And Satan is ever working to try to keep people blind to spiritual truths. Let me just read 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. But if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age, that's Satan, has blinded. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Satan is a master at blinding people's spiritual eyes. But Jesus is a master of giving eyes to the blind, right? It goes on to say, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God, the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. God is the opener of spiritual eyes. Amen? Just like Jesus healed blind people, he heals spiritually blind people. Another area that we need spiritual eyesight for is concerning our homeland. It is so easy to think that this world is my permanent dwelling place, right? But Paul, in Philippians 3:20, tells us that our citizenship is in heaven. And listen to this description of the faith of the Old Testament saints who saw by faith their promised inheritance. This is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 through 16. All these Old Testament saints died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. They embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, we can see our heavenly inheritance. Amen. We can see beyond this physical realm and see our eternal home. So how's your faith today? Do you know God is trying to increase our faith? That's why he allows trials, things into our life to test our faith, to increase our faith. He wants us to walk by faith, not by sight. And of course, the most powerful sight that faith sees is the sight of the Savior giving his life on the cross. When I look to the cross, I see grace sealed by your sacrifice. I see love reaching to me. We can't see the cross that Jesus died on with our physical eyes, but by faith, we can see our Savior crucified for us. Amen? And when your faith sees him shedding his blood for your sins, then you are seeing the sacrifice for your eternal life. You can see eternal life when you look at the cross. And you are saved by faith. Amen? Amen. I think that's why the scripture says that we should fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. By faith, you can see your Lord. I've been trying to practice this week. Everything I do and everywhere I go, I try to remind myself, wait a minute, I'm not alone. Jesus is with me, and by faith, I can know he's in me, he's with me, he's going before me, he's my shepherd, and I can look ahead and see my shepherd going before me. And I have a dear friend that I worked with for years at Peaceful Valley Church. And whenever there was a problem in the church or a relational problem, I would often come into his office and, blah, 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 you know, just tell my buddy all the things that were going wrong and all the people who were not doing right and et cetera, et cetera. And I would blubber and tell him all the problems, and he would sit back in his chair and say, I wonder how Jesus is going to fix this. He would immediately take my eyesight, get it off the problems, and turn it on who? Jesus. He is the answer. Amen? Amen. If you have problems coming into your life, did those problems surprise Jesus? Was he no. Jesus says, I must have fallen asleep. And that trial snuck past me and got, is that what you think? No, Jesus is ever mindful of what's going on in your life. And he allows things into your life so that you will turn to him and allow him to do his mighty work in you. Amen? Amen. We walk by faith, not by sight. We are saved by faith, not by sight. And if there's anyone here today who hasn't opened the eyes of their heart to see Jesus, I pray you'll do that today. You'll see him as crucified for you, as carrying all of your sins on that cross so that he can give you everlasting life. Amen. Walk by faith. This week, make a game out of it. Make it your goal to look for Jesus everywhere you go, to look for his hand, to be aware of his presence, and to speak often of him to other people. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you've called us to walk by faith. We are so nearsighted, Lord. We're so spiritually often blind. We need you to open our eyes to see the eternal realm all around us. We need to learn to look past people and to look for what's going on in the spiritual realm. If there are problems, help us to see that it's the enemy of our soul who is trying to cause those problems. So, Lord, we just want to have our eyesight adjusted today so that we can see you. We want to see you as crucified and risen for us. Thank you, Lord. Walk with us now. We know you do walk with us. Help us by faith to know that you are always with us. In Jesus' name, amen.